You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, this is Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast, and I am very excited today to be joined by Unity Stokes, who's a co-founder of Startup Health, an organization that we are getting to know and have a ton of respect for. And Unity, I'm really excited to get to know you a little bit more and more about the organization. So thanks for spending some time.
Tobin, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So Unity, let's just go back a little bit, because for the audience, some may not know you and know what Startup Health is. Let's just go back, timeline-wise. Tell me a little bit about your career. How did you get going? And then we'll get into how Startup Health came to be.
I grew up on a farm in Iowa. So I always say farmers are the best entrepreneurs out there. You know, if you can manage the weather, you can pretty much handle anything. But I really consider myself to be an entrepreneur. Went to school in Boston, straight after school, went to New York. This was in the mid-90s and you know, right in the middle of the early phase of Web 1.0. And I was focused on the internet era, really helped build a technology company that my current business partner in Startup Health, Stephen Prime, he was the CEO. We took a company public in the late 90s. So we are really both internet tech entrepreneurs that made our way into healthcare about 15 years ago. So it's been a long, windy journey there, but we really consider ourselves to be technology entrepreneurs that kind of look at healthcare from the perspective of innovation, data, and just asking ourselves why it has to be the way that it has been for so long. So that journey started about 15 years ago, and it's been a wild, interesting time ever since. We actually just celebrated our 10th anniversary of Startup Health in June. So we're officially a decade into our mission at Startup Health now.
That's cool. And we have some similar, I think, backgrounds and thoughts. Similarly, my background was technology. I got sucked into healthcare. And I think the perspectives that you just shared are very similar in the sense of how I think technologists look at things like puzzles. Like there's a better way to do this. What's the better way? If technology can be a piece of that, great. Sometimes it's non-tech. It might just be process. Tell me, so you guys, what was the impetus for, you built the company that you took public, and was there a period where you sort of took 6 months and sat on a beach and thought about this, or what? How did the idea for Startup Health then evolve?
Yeah, actually what happened is one of our board members at the time got sick. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And this is before we knew anything about healthcare. I was 26 years old. My business partner was, I think, 29. And his wife called us. And during that journey, she basically asked if we could help search for any special trials or treatments. And it was really during that experience that opened our eyes to some of the challenges in healthcare. And we saw how broken the system was, how there weren't really easy ways to navigate the system for patients. A lot of great data was being siloed. So when we set out to build our next company, we wanted to create, at the time, the first digital doctor's office. And this was going back 15 years. So we launched a company. There was an early wave of these health 2.0 companies that were all starting around the same time, companies like 23andMe, ZocDoc, Vitals. There was a new wave of, I think, thinking at the time of trying to look at how technology could come in and innovate in the sector. And we were a part of that. And I think we knew nothing about the industry. We were not healthcare professionals or doctors. And to a certain extent, I think that was a little bit of our secret weapon, in that we didn't know what we didn't know, and we didn't know the rules, you know. So therefore, everything we did was a little off base. And I think 15 years ago, we were way, way too early with a digital doctor's office. In fact, a little aside, we made our revenue from pharmaceutical companies doing pharma advertising, and we would go in and sell what we called at the time pharma-friendly social media. And this is before Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Basically everything that is now called social media. So we were just way, way too early. Mm-hmm. But really what happened during those early years of building that company is we discovered what was broken. We discovered a lot of the needs. We built a lot of great networks, and we saw there was a need for more capital. We saw there was a need for more talent in the ecosystem. And we saw a need really for a new wave of thinking and innovation in healthcare. And that's what led us to really launch Startup Health. It was born out of that need we had to be able to attract talent, attract capital, get customers. So we wanted to basically build a set of resources, a platform, an ecosystem that we needed ourselves as entrepreneurs trying to reinvent the future of health. And we set out on our mission with Startup Health really to try to band together what we call an army of health transformers, entrepreneurs and innovators, that could band together and collaborate on solving the biggest health challenges of our time. So we've been working on that mission for the past 10 years of really investing in and supporting entrepreneurs and innovators that are dedicating their lives to solving some of the biggest health challenges of our time. We call those health moonshots. A decade in, I got to say, it's in some ways getting easier and faster, and other ways really just beginning in every way. And we couldn't be more excited about the future.
That's cool. I want to dig more into the moonshots and the theses around that. But on a personal level, I know a couple of years ago, you relocated from New York to the Bay Area, expanded kind of the perspective of the group. Talk a little bit about that. What was the impetus for moving, and you know, how are you guys managing the team differently as a result of that?
Yeah, so we founded Startup Health based out of New York City, where Steve Krein, my business partner, and I lived, and Steve still lives there. And a few years ago, I moved out to Berkeley, to the Bay Area, and we really felt that it was important to have both coasts covered. Not just for having the coast covered, but really for the global kind of opportunity. Really being on both coasts, we can be anywhere in the world. We see the wave of health innovation today and the opportunity of the future really being a global opportunity. Yeah. We see one of our investors, Steve Case, who co-founded AOL and does a lot of great investing now, has a whole campaign he calls Rise of the Rest. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the great healthcare innovation historically has come from places like Boston or New York or even Silicon Valley. But it's happening today all over the US. Mm-hmm. It's happening all over the world. So really having multiple headquarters or being dynamic or virtual, I guess, we felt was very, very important to the future of health innovation, because there's health transformers, there's investors, there's opportunity happening all over the world. I think there's at least 40 major health innovation hubs around the world today. And going back 10 years ago when we started, that was not the case. If you look at the funding alone, 10 years ago, there was about $1 billion invested each year in digital health or health innovation type startups. We just put out Startup Health Insight report for 2021. And 10 years later, there's already been $20 billion invested in the first half of this year.
Wow.
So we're expecting close to, if not more than $40 billion to flow into early stage health innovation today, up from about $1 billion a year 10 years ago. And it's happening everywhere. So being on the East Coast, being on the West Coast, being having access to the global markets was really, really important. Plus, it's just awesome out here in the Bay Area, and I'm very glad to be here in Berkeley. I know we were talking earlier about the weather, and you're in Denver, and I'm in Berkeley, and I feel very fortunate to be where it's sunny a lot of the year.
Yeah, we don't need to rub it into the face of the New Yorkers who are dealing with the humidity and the heat, or the Houstonians. But yeah, no, the Bay Area, it's tough to beat. And
but they do have really good pizza in New York, and and I miss that.
Yeah, that's right. Pizza, bagels, also not as great elsewhere. And it's interesting, as you said, you know, the Steve Case's thesis, and it's really in some ways, you know, that it's an arbitrage, which is there are these markets that are lower cost. As you said, you know, I mean, the Bay Area and New York and in Boston have historically been these deep, deep pools and still continue to be. But it's, you know, more and more of the Birminghams and St. Louis and Houston and these markets. And quite frankly, it's 30% or less cost to build a business there. So your risks are mitigated. So whether that's great for an investor, great for an entrepreneur. And as capital becomes, you know, more fluid, and as you said, and as you guys have demonstrated, teams don't need to be centered in one place. And I think you were probably a little ahead of the curve on that in some ways. I mean, accelerated, all of this has been accelerated by COVID. You know, you and our team and others are now realizing, you know what, we don't need to be all sitting in the same place. And that reach is beneficial, but so is just the flexibility. Let's go back a little bit to the business. The moonshot concept, how did that evolve? How did you determine the moonshots that you are focused on, and maybe mention some of the key ones or all of them?
Yeah, you know, our whole thesis at Startup Health is based off of the inspiration from NASA. And what NASA was able to do over a decade, a 10-year period of taking a person to the moon and bringing them back safely. That whole initiative took 10 years, $10 billion of money back then, and 25,000 organizations playing some aspect in doing that mission, and about 400,000 people to do that one singular mission. And that was... and remains, it's so inspirational to us as what's needed in health and healthcare. We think of a health moonshot as being an impact mission that impacts at least 1 billion people or more. It's a challenge so great that it's not going to be any one company or any one organization or any one investor that is going to achieve that mission. It's going to be a collaborative effort, we call it collaborative innovation, that really marches towards that singular mission over a long period of time to really make a dent in achieving that. So we were inspired by that. We set out and we first mapped 10 health moonshots when we first got started. These are things like bringing access to care to everyone in the world, ending disease like cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's. These are women's health, children's health, brain health, mental health, and wellness. 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, we launched an 11th health moonshot around addiction and the opioid crisis. And a year and a half ago, we launched a 12th moonshot around pandemic response, not just for COVID-19, but really to mitigate and hopefully prevent future pandemics or be able to manage them more effectively in the future. So we feel that this collection of moonshots, there's now 12 of them, they're all interrelated. They're all interconnected. And under each one, you could have 100 sub moonshots. But they're really a defining mechanism to galvanize an army of innovators, of entrepreneurs, of people, of organizations, of capital around these big themes. We align our moonshot themes with the UN sustainable development goals for health and wellness, which are a set of metrics and KPIs by 2030. Mm-hmm. And by 2040, we want to go to the next level. And our insane kind of goal is really to try to impact the health and well-being of every human on earth. Mm-hmm. And it seems crazy. It seems ridiculous. But if you get thousands of companies together, all innovating in different ways, we believe there's an opportunity to really deliver not just health care, but health and wellness and well-being in a new way, and make it affordable, accessible, and better than it's been in decades. The sad thing is there's probably over 5 billion people in the world that have access to no care at all. And, you know, we think about healthcare largely in terms of the U.S. market, which is a, you know, multi-trillion dollar market at this point. But when you look globally, it's a $10 to $13 trillion market. Mm. And if you think about the fact that there's 5 billion people on the outside of that market, it's a massive opportunity to make impact. It's also a massive economic opportunity. We see it as, coming from the internet era, in a lot of ways, the opportunity for the future of health, it reminds us of the early days of the web, 1994 web, when the first browsers were just coming out, when e-commerce was just being developed, when people were getting their first personal computers and connecting them with modems to the internet itself. It's that early in this wave of health innovation, but look what's happened. There's been multiple generations of innovation, new industries like e-commerce, right? Mobile, that have just transformed every aspect of the world's life, so to speak. And we see the same potential when it comes to the global opportunity with healthcare, but also individual health and well-being.
Yep. I love it. And you mentioned the word a couple times, impact. You guys have a newer fund that's got impact in the name. Talk a little bit about that fund. Who's the audience? What's the goals? Have you started investing out of that fund a little bit? Just give some of the mechanics.
Yeah. So over the past 10 years, we've had two funds. We just finished our second fund earlier this year. We've made close to 380 investments over the last decade. And we just launched in April a third new fund. It's what's called a rolling fund. And I'll describe that in a second because it's a novel new type of venture fund. It's called Startup Health Moonshots Impact Fund. And really what it is, it's think of it like a subscription model for venture capital, where you can, with one check every quarter, subscribe to all of the investments that we make. And we're making anywhere from 10 to 15 investments every quarter in early stage health innovation companies. And so an angel investor or an accredited investor or even an organization that wants to invest in healthcare companies and cares about not only financial return, but also the impact that it's making, they can subscribe to this rolling fund and automatically be invested in all the deals that we do. So we're really, this is new. We just started this April 1st. We, in the second quarter, we made our first 9 investments. We'll make at least 12 investments this quarter. One really important aspect about it is we're trying to open the access to venture capital to more, more people, more investors. You know, that $20 billion that invested in the first half of this year, or really the billions that have flown into early stage venture capital over the past decade, it's really coming from about 1,100 people or organizations.
Right.
So we want to open that up to hundreds or even thousands more people and organizations, accredited and qualified investors, people who care about a double bottom line. This isn't philanthropy. This is meant to generate financial returns, but also deliver on impact goals. So we've been inviting in investors, doctorpreneurs, clinicians, angel investors, strategic organizations, family offices, people and organizations that really care about how they invest and believe in this collaborative innovation model, and perhaps doesn't have the time to go do a bunch of angel investing themselves. We do that every day. So I'm pretty excited about this. It's, you know, it's just getting going, but we're very active, and we're scaling this over the coming months and years, and continuing to invest. Investors can join anytime, every quarter. If anyone's interested in learning more, you can go to healthmoonshots.com. We have weekly webinars on this, and happy to share more information. It is only open to accredited investors, or qualified investors. But one day I hope that, even retail investors, get access to this type of investing. I should say, you know, early stage investing is very risky. And there's very good reasons why. There's protections, and this type of venture investing has historically only been open to accredited investors and qualified investors, because it is high risk. But I think in the future, we hope to see investment opportunities open more and more up, as we're seeing as a general trend, to more people, so that they're a part of the process of innovating and transforming the future of health with their investment.
There's a saying in finance that the only free lunch is the diversification you get through building a portfolio. And so, as you mentioned, there is risk, but investing through a fund like you're building is a much smarter way, we feel, than most opportunities where people are just throwing darts at a dartboard and picking single issuances. They don't have the visibility that you have in terms of the scope of the market. They don't have the ability to manage those investments actively like you do. And then subsequent to investment, supporting these companies after the fact. You know, most quote angel investors, it's sort of spray and pray, write a check and just hope things go well, because there's really not much more they can do. And so we're big fans of that diversification that you're building. You know, talk a little bit about startups that might be listening to this and they're hearing about, you know, you guys are very active in the market. How are you making those decisions of the 10, 12, 15 companies a quarter? Obviously, you've got a filter in the form of the 12 moonshots. So they have to fit into one or more of those 12. What other criteria are you looking for? What stages are you looking for? What don't you look for? Or what don't you want?
That's a great question, and something that's very important to us. We focus on what we call a health transformer mindset. And there's 8 criteria that we look at as we're assessing the founding team of a company we're going to invest in. So we actually look at two things. We do a scorecard on the health transformer mindset, and then we do a scorecard on the health moonshot company and what their mission and vision is. And I think, you know, a lot of investors tend to focus on business model and metrics and revenue and the standard things that you might look at to see if a company's doing well. But at the earliest stages of a company, a thing like business model often evolves and changes, the product evolves and changes. So what we've found is, from our perspective, the most important thing to look at is the founders, the leaders of that team, the leaders of that mission, and we look for their long-term commitment. Are they in this just to flip something, or are they focused on the long journey? Because healthcare is a long journey. It's everything takes longer, as you know, in healthcare. Yeah. The sales cycles are long. It takes a long time to raise capital. It takes a long time to get through regulatory hurdles, all sorts of challenges. So you need to have a real long-term mindset. We look for collaborative relationships. We look at their quarterly progress to see what their track record is for momentum. We try to assess how ambitious they are, how self-aware and coachable they are. We look to see if they have healthy habits. So we know a lot of entrepreneurs that they'll come and say, oh, I work 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Well, if you're going to run a marathon for 10 years, you need to take a day off. You need to take the weekends off, or you're never going to make it to the end of the marathon. So we really look at healthy habits. We look at the mindset around value creation. And I would say one of the most important things, criteria we look at, we call it batteries included. We try, and we see this almost as a binary metric, which is, you know, that people that walk in the room and they either add energy or they drain it out of the room.
Yeah.
We like to invest in founders or teams and people that we call batteries included. They always bring a little energy into the room. That is infectious. It helps grow a team. It helps inspire a mission. It helps kind of create that energy. And when you have a whole community or collaborative innovation approach, as we do, if more people than not, right, have that filter and they're all bringing a pay it forward approach and a batteries included kind of energy, it just creates like this fusion. And it really creates a lot of energy and impact. And speeds things up. So we look at those types of things. By the way, you can see all of this in detail at startuphelp.com, where we outline the detail around this health transformer mindset. But we also look at the company, their health moonshot mission, what health moonshot they're focused on. Is it a backable team? Do they have notable investors or advisors? Do they have anything proprietary in their technology? Is there any kind of traction or momentum? How innovative does it seem? Is it incremental or is it leapfrog innovation? So we look at those types of things when we're looking at the company itself. But we'll back a team, you know, at the beginning, you know, two people in a garage or in a lab or sitting around a kitchen table, all the way really through Series B. We have a number of later stage companies in our portfolio. In fact, we've got a big acquisition being announced tomorrow, which we're excited about.
Nice.
Can't mention right now. We want to and are willing to back innovators all over the world, right? You can be in Nigeria, you can be in Tel Aviv, you can be in Kansas City. So it really comes down to your mindset, and it comes down to, do you have a moonshot vision?
I'm going to borrow that batteries included. I'll give you attribution, but I love that. My version has been, we like groups, including ourselves. We try to be diligent about this or purposeful, and that is to make deposits more than we make withdrawals. And, but I like the batteries included. That's really good. Talk a little bit about, after the investment. So you have a substantial portfolio now, maybe two thoughts. One is lessons learned in terms of things that maybe you would have thought about differently in investing companies, maybe just a lesson or two there as an investor. And then maybe something from the startup's perspective, because you're seeing a lot of patterns, you're seeing success. You mentioned some things that are near and dear to our heart, coachability and attributes that we think are significantly important for success. But maybe a lesson learned, maybe just a pattern, because that's one thing that you have an advantage of is with that volume, you're seeing patterns that even the most prolific venture firms aren't necessarily seeing. So is there anything in the startup world that you would really say to an entrepreneur, this, you know, if you're going to focus on one or two things, this is what I would suggest, whether it's, you know, something they need to learn or perfect. But let's start with the investor lens. Any, you know, key lessons that come to mind?
Yeah, a couple of quick ones. It's so helpful to have a co-founder, or more than one co-founder, but definitely at least one, and to also be coachable. And the reason for that is it's so easy. The determiner of success is often your resiliency. It's how long you're in the game. It's not necessarily your business model or the idea, but it's how you navigate the journey over a long period of time. So if it's easy to get knocked off course along the way. There's so many dips. There's so many trap doors. There's so many ways. So when you have a partner or a co-founder that can balance you out or be the yin to your yang, or just help you when you're down, it may be less likely that you'll quit along the way. So a co-founder can be a great balancing force. We look for co-founder teams, as one thing that, you know, lone entrepreneurs can be very successful and often are, and we have backed, many, but we prefer teams, for that reason. The coachability is important because, you often need outside kind of guidance or advice at those times where it's either a moment of great challenge or great opportunity. So if you're never willing to kind of listen to external advice or be coachable, it can be difficult to recalibrate and leverage those opportunities or navigate those challenges. I would say those are two of the biggest determiners or signals of success in our view. It really comes down to resiliency. You know, the investments we made 7 years ago are the ones going public today and doing SPACs and getting acquired and scaling 10X. And, you know, that's what's happening. They put in the work for 7 or 10 years already. And so it really is a journey. You know, one of the things we take a platform approach to. So when we make an investment, the company comes in to the startup health family and gets access to all the resources of our platform. And that's where the collaboration comes in. And we provide a whole gamut of resources really around coaching, around storytelling, and really helping the companies navigate the different milestones through their journey of scaling. And to do that alone is just so painful and so challenging and so difficult. But to do it with a whole army of collaborators, of peers, of people that inspire you or can help you or lift you up or just speed things up for you, makes it exponential in terms of your likelihood of success or even just how fun it is along that journey.
Well put. It reminds me too of the quote Muhammad Ali used to famously say, he wasn't the champ because he never got knocked down. He was the champ because he kept getting back up. And I think that applies a lot to startups. You just keep getting back up. And at some point, you wake up and all of a sudden, holy cow, we had some success.
Yeah, just take, you know, the whole world changed obviously a year and a half ago with COVID-19. And if you just look at our portfolio, there was a whole bunch of our portfolio that had been struggling to get customers. These are telehealth platforms, virtual care platforms, you know, and overnight the world changes. Mm-hmm. The customers show up, the investors show up, and you know, no one would have predicted or hoped for a global pandemic. But the dynamics change. A window of transformation happened, and you know, for those innovators and entrepreneurs that can dance with the daily struggle and change and manage, you know, that over time, it can create a lot of opportunity to really make a bigger impact.
I love it. Let's talk just a little bit, and then we'll start to wrap up about, maybe let's just put our lens out through the balance of the year. Share a little bit about what are your key priorities? What are you trying to accomplish this year? What does success look like as you go into the year? And as people that are listening to this, that might be somebody that could plug into those various different needs, what are those specifically?
Yeah, we're really in scale mode ourselves. So, you know, we've been making, call it on average, 40 to 70 investments per year. We'd like to 10x that. We'd like to invest in more health transformers around the world and have more capital to be able to back the extraordinary wave of innovation that we're seeing in every corner of the world today. So backing more health transformers, providing more capital into the ecosystem, and really just banding these innovators together in a way that can speed up the innovation cycles. We believe that there is a major transformation happening because of the changing business models, the changing dynamic, the massive demand for new innovation, the digital revolution, the global age of entrepreneurship, where we're seeing a wave of new talent around the world, oftentimes from outside of healthcare, but also doctorpreneurs and great innovators and scientists that are reinventing the future of health. And this is happening at global scale. So we're scaling up over the rest of this year and the next several years to be able to have more capital to invest in more health transformers and just try to speed this whole thing up and make a bigger impact along the way. So that's our plan. We're looking for investors at healthmoonshots.com, and we're looking for great entrepreneurs who can find out more at startuphealth.com. So both of those, if you're an investor or want to learn about how to invest in our fund, or if you're an entrepreneur that's seeking capital, community, access to the Startup Health family of resources, we'd love to meet you, and we'd love to support you, and we'd love to collaborate with you.
That's awesome. And just one finer point on that, just a question about as you scale out the capital, one thing that comes to mind, as you mentioned, these companies are maturing, they're growing as they're having the success, they need more capital. Do you have thoughts about a fund or funds over time that get into that growth stage of the companies where you've planted the seeds early, but now you see they need that big A, big B, big C round? I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
We don't lead rounds or price rounds or sit on boards. So we're always a minority stake investor. And that's important because of the scale and the number of companies we're backing. However, as our funds grow, that gives us more capital to do more A rounds, to do more B rounds, to do more follow-on investing. So even if we invest at a pre-seed or seed stage, to have the capital to be able to follow on in their A and follow on in their B round and really support that company through their journey is really, really important to us. So absolutely part of our goal. And it's really just a function of growing our capital to invest, to be able to do more of that. We have so much deal flow coming in every day, every week at this point. Our limiting factor is capital. So we're just very, very focused on fundraising, to be able to solve that so that we can back more entrepreneurs.
That's great. And we'll put the information, links and so forth in the show notes. So it makes it easy for people to connect on the startup and on the investor side. Unity, it's been a real pleasure. There's plenty more conversations I can think of that we can have and go down some deeper dives in some areas, but this is a great overview of the company. You guys are doing incredible work. Congratulations on all the success the first 10 years. We'll be looking forward to celebrating with you guys when the announcement comes out tomorrow on that exit. Those are always fun. And it's really been a pleasure.
Tobin, thank you so much. And you guys are so important to the ecosystem as well. And it's really great to collaborate with you all. And I love your podcast. So thanks for doing it.
My pleasure.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.